Savior. Amen. Many years ago, when I was attending elementary school in Thief River Falls, Minnesota, I recall there was a rebellious boy in our class. Not me. There was a rebellious boy in our class who always got into trouble. I remember one day in particular, there was one day that while the teacher was lecturing, this boy was talking out loud in the back of the class, distracting everybody. So the teacher got his attention and said, "Young man, you need to be quiet while I, the teacher, am talking." And this rebellious boy, who was probably used to speaking the same way to his parents, said, "No! I can talk if I want to. It's a free country." Most of us know that the sale and use of illegal drugs, such as meth, has become a real problem in our nation, even right here in Jamestown. However, there are some who will defend their sale and or use of such harmful drugs by saying, "Hey, why can't we use and manufacture and sell such drugs? It's a free country." Over the last few decades, the production and use of pornography has increased dramatically in our nation. Years ago, pornography existed, but it was produced in only a few places, and it could be purchased in only a few places. But now, pornography of the most perverse kind can be found anywhere in a moment just by clicking a link on the internet. Now, there are many in this nation who would like there to be laws against the use and production of pornography. But there are others who have been able to resist the passing of such laws by arguing as follows. We have a right to produce and use pornography as much as we want because it's a free country. You know, if you ask people in our culture today what the word freedom means, many will answer by saying, Yeah, I think I know. Freedom means that I get to do whatever I want, whenever I want to do it. Yeah, freedom means there are no rules. However, such people are not thinking very clearly. You see, only an insane person would want to live in a society where there were no rules and where people were free to do whatever they want. I mean, what would life be like if there were no laws against theft or speeding or murder? We'd be living in chaos. You see, when people are free to do whatever they want in this sinful world, then we will surely end up being slaves to our sinful passions. You know, when our nation was first established, our founding fathers wanted to create a free society. However, by freedom, they did not mean that our citizens could do whatever they want, whenever they want. No. By freedom, they meant that no ruler would be able to keep us from being the best people we could be as defined by our good laws. You see, this is a free country because we have laws that punish evil and encourage people to be the best they can be. Now, there are a few exceptions. There are some laws we have that are bad, such as the law that allows parents to end the life of their unborn children, and there's others like them. But for the most part, we still have good laws that punish evil, good laws that encourage us to be the best we can be. That's why this is a free country. Today, we continue our sermon series entitled, Dying to Live the Baptized Life. We've learned that in holy baptism, God connects us to the saving death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In holy baptism, God puts our sinful nature to death so that we can live a new life as His children. In baptism, God sets us free from the slavery of our sinful nature so that we can be free to live as God's people. But guess what? Just as some people wrongly think that living in a free country means that you can do anything you want, there are some who think that being a Christian means that you get to do anything you want. In fact, some actually support this wicked notion by using the words of Paul at the beginning of our reading from Galatians. Let me read those words. "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." But you know what? Some take these words completely out of context, and here's what they say. "Jesus has set me free. My sins are forgiven. So don't you dare tell me how I have to live. Don't quote Bible passages to me that tell me I'm sinning. No, I'm forgiven. I'm free. I can live as I please, and I'm accountable to no one." But that's not what Paul is talking about in our reading from Galatians. So what is Paul talking about then? Well, simply put, in our entire reading from Galatians that you heard not long ago, Paul is teaching us to avoid two kinds of slavery so that we can be truly free. First, let me talk about the first kind of slavery that Paul wants us to avoid. First, Paul wants us to be free from the slavery of thinking that God forgives us because we obey His rules. You see, there were some false teachers in Paul's day who were saying that Christians had to keep all of the Old Testament laws or they could not be saved. But this false teaching failed to understand the nature of the Old Testament laws. For example, if you study the Old Testament carefully, you find that some of the Old Testament laws were only for the Jews, and those laws themselves were temporary in nature. Among such laws were the Passover celebration and the requirement that Jewish men would be circumcised. These ceremonial laws and others like them intended to point ahead to Jesus, who He would be and what He would do to save us. Now, of course, once Jesus was born, once He had finished His work, these ceremonial laws were no longer needed, therefore no longer required of the Jewish people. But understand this, even when they were required, they were only required because they were pictures of Jesus and all that He would do for us. They were never meant to be works that people would do to be worthy of God's mercy. However, there are other Old Testament laws that are still binding on us because they were meant for all people of all times and places. One such example of this is the Ten Commandments. But you know what? Even obedience to these laws is not what saves us from our sin and the wrath of God that we deserve. I want you to listen carefully to what Paul writes earlier in Galatians in chapter 3. Listen to these words. "All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law.' Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith." You see, the false teachers in Paul's day were enslaving people with the evil idea that they could be saved only by obeying God's laws. But not even the teachers who were promoting this evil did that themselves. As Paul said, if you want to be saved by the law, then you're going to do everything it says perfectly. And none of us can do that, so obviously salvation is not found in the law. In fact, Paul goes on in Galatians chapter 3 to make it clear that the only way we can be free from the damnation we deserve is to trust in Jesus, who was damned for us. As Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. You see, the perfect law of God is a curse not because the law is bad, but because we disobey it. No matter how hard we try, we can't keep it perfectly. Therefore, in order to save us, God allowed Jesus to suffer the curse that should have been ours because of our disobedience of God's law. Jesus sets us free from the slavery of having to earn our own salvation, which we could never, ever do. However, now we must consider the second error that Paul also wants us to avoid. Now, this other error is the direct opposite of the first error, but it leaves us in slavery nevertheless. The first error made us slaves by saying that we had to save ourselves by what we do. But this second error makes us slaves by saying that salvation means we can do anything that we want, even if God says it's wrong. Simply put, there were some other false teachers in Paul's day who taught that freedom in Christ means that you are accountable to no one, not even God, and that you can live as you please. So don't you judge me. Here's what they were saying. Jesus died for all our sins. Now we can do anything we want without fear of God's wrath. And if you're telling me that what I'm doing is wrong, even though the Bible says it is, well, then you just don't understand Jesus and the freedom that he gives us. But my friends, Jesus did not die for us so that we could continue to spit in God's face and live as his enemies. You see, the freedom that Jesus has given us is not freedom for sin. No. The freedom that Jesus gives us is freedom from sin. Remember what Paul said in our reading from Galatians? He said, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature." In fact, Paul then goes on to list some of the acts of the sinful nature, and then he makes it clear that we are not free to live in this way. In fact, he goes on to say that those who live in this way will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I explained the meaning of a verse like that last Sunday. Paul isn't saying that if you've ever committed any of these sins, you're going to hell. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, if you use God's grace as an excuse to rebel against him and live as you please, if you continue to sin and refuse to repent, then yes, you will end up in hell. That's what Paul's teaching us here. This freedom that says, now I can live as I please, and God will just keep on forgiving me even though I insist on living as I please, that's a lie. Paul says such an unrepentant attitude will lead us straight to hell. You see, we Christians do not use Jesus' mercy as an excuse to sin all we want. Instead, Jesus' mercy gives us a new heart that says no to sin and yes to God's loving plan for our lives. I'd like you to hear one more time what Martin Luther writes about the meaning of our baptism. You've heard this in a couple of the other sermons I've preached so far in this series, but it would be good for us to hear it again. Concerning the meaning of our baptism for daily life, Luther writes, "Baptism signifies that the sinful nature in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil lusts, and again, a new person, daily come forth and arise, who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever." There you have it. As baptized Christians, we are not free to live as we please. Instead, being baptized means that we are free to live in a way that pleases God, our merciful Heavenly Father. We heard this in our reading from 1 Peter. Peter said, "Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God." But you know what? What do we Christians do when we find that after all we try to do to live the baptized life, we still have sin in our lives? What do we do when we find that no matter how hard we try, we can never get rid of the desires of our sinful nature? Let's face it, no matter how hard we try to live the baptized life, sometimes we do the evil God forbids, and sometimes we don't do the good that He expects of us. So what is our hope? Our hope is Jesus, who died for our sins so that we can be free to live as God's people. As Peter wrote, "Jesus Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed." Remember, you've learned in this sermon series that even though we die and rise with Christ in baptism, this side of heaven, baptism continues to be a daily battle with our sinful nature. So we shouldn't be surprised that after we've fought the battle, at the end of the day, we still see this sinful nature raging in us. That can start to make us wonder if we're forgiven, if God loves us, if we're really free after all. But here's the good news. At the end of the day, after we fought the battle and we still see the sin in our life, we can know that the victory has already been won and we're truly free because Jesus has set us free. Yes, Jesus sets us free from both errors that enslave us. On the one hand, we're free from the slavery of thinking that we must always try to be good enough for God or we won't be saved. But we're also free from the slavery of thinking that freedom means we get to keep on living as God's enemies. Jesus has given you true freedom. Your sins are forgiven. You are holy in God's sight. And that means you get to daily die to sin and live for righteousness. Thus the sermon title for this series, Dying to Live the Baptized Life. Jesus has set us free. We get to live each day confessing our sins, knowing that we're already forgiven for Christ's sake. We also, by God's Spirit, get to say no to the desires of our sinful nature and yes to the good things that God has planned for our lives as His children. Because of Jesus, we are able to freely hold ourselves accountable to God, the God who forgives us and longs to love us for all eternity. In our gospel reading, Jesus spoke to some Jews who sadly had lost their faith in Jesus. They had believed at one point, but not anymore. Why? Well, they lost their faith in Jesus because they decided they no longer believed His teaching. And what is Jesus' teaching in a nutshell? Simply put, we are sinners who are enslaved by our own rebellion against God. We are children of the devil by nature, and we deserve only God's wrath. But God loved us so much that He sent His Son to save us from the slavery of our sin. And Jesus did this by living a perfect life in our place. He did this by dying on the cross in our place of judgment. He did this by conquering death for us so that we might live forever as God's dearly loved children. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, "Go make disciples of all nations." And God has made you His disciples. You have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You have received Jesus' teaching, His teaching which you get to hear and read from His Word. And today, you also get to eat and drink the very body and blood of Jesus, which assures you that your sins are forgiven and that you are free to be accountable to the God who loves you and wants the best for you, now and for all eternity. You can leave this place today knowing that you are truly free. Because as Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, then you will be free indeed. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before